I want to share something with you just before we sing this song. You know, within the last year, a lot of the stuff that's saying really fit right away from my heart. I know the Lord knows what He's doing. And I had a song last night on my heart. I think He asked me to sing what I was singing. And when I got here this morning, I felt this change. And I know some of you may know, my sister there, my brother-in-law and us have all moved to Oklahoma. Never thought I'd see the day I moved from Texas to Oklahoma. I lived in Texas for, how many knows how long the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness? 4 years. I lived in Amarillo for 40 years. So it's called when everything was just flowing along. We're going to work, we're going to church, we love the Lord, everything's good. And when God calls you to step out of your comfort zone sometimes, and He called us, and I believe with all my heart, that's why my boy, when He did that, the devil got out of bed. The devil didn't like it. The devil don't like it when you do what God wants you to do, whatever it is. And ever since then, ever since we moved, it's been on my heart. God, Lord, you know, I'm tired of this world. And how much worse is it getting now? When I hear the tapes and I hear the things day by day, what Brother Brown said, I thought, my, it wasn't nothing back then compared to what it is now. But I believe Brother Brown being a prophet, he could see things that we might not see. And it's coming to pass right in front of us. This world's falling apart left and right. Just before we say this, I want to share this scripture with you. It's a real familiar scripture. Some revelations at the end of the book. It said, and the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I believe the Bible is up to date. It's just like every time I read a scripture, it's just like it's right in front of us. It's not something years ago. It's fresh. I want to go home and choose some prayers this morning. As I wake up, what a beautiful day.
happy for that. Amen. So we welcome you to the house of the Lord. Let the musicians go ahead and move their seats. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. I want to welcome our visitors, which been here before, but amen. God bless you for being with us. And just want you to feel at home and just enter into the presence of the Lord this morning. I want to go ahead and get into the Bible and open the scriptures. And we're going to open up in Ephesians chapter 5. I trust that everybody had an enjoyable day yesterday celebrating our independence. You know, it really doesn't matter to me what we celebrate. To me, all celebrations, they all really lead back to the one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that truly gave us our ability to have liberty, to be free from bondage, free from the chains of sin, and free from the chains of death. And so we know that it's just like Brother Ram said, Christmas ought to be a day of worship. Right? It should be a day of worship.
Sure.
And even on Memorial Day, when we remember all those that fought and died for us, we should remember it all goes back to Him. He fought and died for us.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
And so even yesterday, we have a nation that they think is great. We know what's happened to it.
Right.
But, you know, we still do have freedoms. We're here this morning.
Right.
Right. We're able to come in here and we're able to preach exactly what the Lord would put on our hearts according to an end time message and leadership of the Holy Spirit. So we do have freedoms to get, and we do want to bless that. We want to thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
But it all goes back to that one who gave us the blessing and freedom.
That's right. That's
so
right.
We want to just worship and honor Him today. So this is not about husbands and not about wives
all
necessarily.
Right.
But anyway, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. Right?
Right.
That it should be holy and without blemish. And so let's just bow our hearts to Him for a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your blessings upon us this day. We open our hearts to You this morning. God, that You would just have Your way among us in this service, Lord, that You would speak what You would desire. Lord, we don't want to put any constraints upon You whatsoever that a man would speak, Lord, but we'd be totally given over to Your Holy Spirit, to the leadership of Your Spirit, Lord, to speak Your words, Lord, to bring us the words of eternal life this morning, that we would hear it, not just with our physical ears, Lord, but that we go down into our heart and actually go in and make product in our soul. We pray, God, that You help us this morning, each one, as we are all feeble in our flesh, Lord. But we just look to You to anoint us and help us, Lord, to act out this morning what You would have. We thank You for Your word, Lord. We thank You for something that we can walk in that's a light for our pathway, something that keeps us from groping in darkness.
Yes.
We love You and thank You for Your blessings this day. And ask, God, that You move upon each one of us this morning. Bless each heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. And you can be seated. Amen. Just one little thing just to remind everyone that next Sunday is our annual business meeting. And so we'll be taking care of all the things that we do annually next Sunday morning. And you love the Lord.
Amen.
We've been doing this leadership, so we're going to call this leadership. It's part three, but I want to subtitle it Walking in True Holiness. I mean, knows there's a true holiness.
Amen.
It means there's a fake holiness, too.
Right.
But there's a true holiness. And so we read the scripture there where He said that He would present to Himself, right, a glorious church. Now, I realize that when God says that, He's probably not talking about man's idea and what they would consider a glorious church. But when God says that, I believe He's looking through His own eyes and He's talking about what He calls a glorious church. And so that He would have a glorious church that He would present to Himself. And I personally believe, saints, that He knows how to present that to Himself.
Amen.
And though you and I don't know a whole lot about it necessarily in our feebleness of what we are as a needy people, but He knows how to present to Himself a glorious church without spot, right?
Right.
Without wrinkle. Apparently, in the economy of God, He wants you to be without spot. Maybe I'm assuming from that it matters, right? That God would want us to be without spot. Well, we know that we can be spotted by this world if we're not careful.
Right.
But God has provided a way. He knows how to work in your life and bring you to a place where He can present you to Himself, a glorious church without spot or without wrinkle. Now, today it's probably pretty easy. Well, I say it's pretty easy. It's actually, it's not. To get up and put on your Sunday clothes and for there not to be any wrinkles in it. We got these electric irons and stuff today, but and so it really makes me wonder what it'd be like back in Bible days, how they do that. But according to Scriptures, He's going to present us to Himself as a glorious church without spot or without wrinkle or any such thing, according to Scriptures. And so He wants us to be holy, right? He's going to present us to Himself as holy and without blemish. Now, to you and I, that sounds almost impossible in ourselves, right? But He is the one in His charge that's going to do this. And so I believe He will take care of, do just exactly what He said. Now, we've been talking about leadership, and we've talked about the rich young ruler and what it cost him for not following the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we took the parallel of how, and I'm basically just telling you what Brother Branham said, but it's true. He was a very successful young businessman. He'd been brought up right. He had kept the commandments since his youth, because if he hadn't have, the Word would have corrected that. But he had done much better than you and I have, because he could say he had kept the commandments from his youth. I couldn't say that.
Right.
Probably none of us could, right?
Right.
But yet he had such a position. In other words, if you bring him to our day, he could say, you know what, I was raised in the message. I've been in the message church, and I had went to church with my parents, and I was raised under this glorious message. And he could put all his confidence on all that and still be lost.
Yeah.
And so this young man, he came to Jesus, and Brother Branham said this way, he didn't have eternal life, and he knew he didn't have it.
Right.
That's why he came to ask about it.
That's right.
He knew, no matter how much he had attained, he knew down inside
yes,
there was something wrong.
Yes,
and so he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course the Lord said, well, keep all the commandments, and he said, well, I've done that, but he had one problem. And the Word will always go to that problem, always correct the thing that's wrong. That's why I tell people, when you come to church, expect the Holy Spirit to put His finger on the place that you're uncomfortable with. Because He's not concerned about patting you on the back and saying you're doing a good job, because that's not going to get you over across on the other side, right? He has to come and identify and talk to you about the things that's holding you back, the things that are going to be a problem.
Right.
And so He spoke to this man, and he said, this rich young ruler, and he said, well, one thing lackest thou. One thing. Jesus didn't say five things.
Right.
One thing lackest thou. And he told him to go and sell all that he has, give to the poor, and come and follow him. And the Scripture said the young man went away. He was sorrowful.
Right.
He was sorrowful because he had much. And so now we know what his problem was. His riches were more important to him than eternal life.
Right.
Right.
Now I want to ask you today, what among us today is more important to us than eternal life? Because we might be in this message, we might have been raised in and been in for 20 years or whatever it might be. See? We might have all that, but don't let that make you think you're going to make it. If there's that one thing we still have that's in the way, then that's going to stop us, see? And so we know that this rich young ruler was confronted there with leadership. He had come to the right place. He'd come to the right voice that would tell him what he needed to know.
Right.
And he came there and he asked the right question. But when the leadership spoke to him about what his situation was, he didn't hear it. He wouldn't have it.
Right.
And he walked away from that leadership. Now, we've talked about that in the last couple of services. And I haven't gotten into the part where Brother Branham talked about another rich young ruler by the name of Moses. And how the fact that Moses did hear that leadership, he did follow God, and he got a totally different outcome than that other one we were talking about. And so that's the contrast of the two. And so in this leadership, we were talking about how that he rejected leadership. But if you accept it, what does it do for you? And remember, we talked about how that here's the process. The process, according to Galatians chapter 1, is that you as a child of God, that you have to be just like a servant out there in the field, working just as hard, and even though you are Lord of all, right? The Scripture said, even though you're Lord of all, and you're going to own the whole plantation someday, or whatever it is, but until you're adopted, You have to be just like that servant. Well, you know what? People don't want to be that, especially in this day. They don't want to start on the bottom rung of the ladder and move their way up. They don't want to do it. And there's an anointing on this stage that caused people to be this way. And so they just don't want to be at the bottom of the rung. But the process says that first you have to be there as a servant, and you have to be under tutors, and you have to be taught, and you have to be taught. And we're familiar with that. You have to be taught until at some point the father says, you know what? He's good enough to be about my business, right? So, and at which point when that happens, the father will have a ceremony. And he will proclaim to the people to take the child and put him up on this scaffolding and put a white robe on him and proclaim to the people, this is my son, and he's now in the business. He's now equal with me. Now, in the scriptures, we understand that when God is talking about being equal with him, you know, Jesus comes along and they want to stone him. And he said, for which of the miracles do you want to stone me for? And they said, well, it's not because of the miracles, but it's because you being a man, when you say that you're equal with God, you make yourself God. How many know some scripture said that? You make yourself God when you say you're equal with God. You pray for my throat. And so you make yourself equal with God, and you make yourself God when you do that. And so when you're talking about a child being under tutors and being taught, being under leadership, that leadership leading him to maturity, when you're talking about that, once that child reaches that place where he can be adopted into the Father's business, he's one with the Father. He can write the checks like the Father. He can go and do like the Father. And everybody has to obey him just like the Father, right?
Yeah.
And we also talk about how that judgment is committed to the Son. There's a lot of things God won't take care of right now, but he will take care of it when the sons come to adoption.
Yeah.
Like David committed to Solomon some things that he needed to take care of that David didn't take care of.
Right.
And we find that through the Scriptures. So all judgment is committed to the Son. So there's a great thing that God wants to do with you and I today when we come to adoption. And so that process is that child will be under tutors and would be brought into a maturity. So leadership, if done right, brings you to maturity.
Right.
Right? It brings you to maturity, and it brings you to a commission. It brings you to a place where now you are anointed, you are blessed of the Father to go forth in the strength of the Father to do what the Father can do. Everybody follow me? That's adoption. And we know we're staring at that right now. That's what this message has come to do. And so leadership brings you to a mature nature, a mature experience in the Lord. It brings you to a place where you're commissioned. It brings you to adoption that you can go forth like the Father would go forth with authority. Now, you know how I said our terms of adoption means that you go out and you get someone who's not part of your family. You adopt them, and now they're part of your family. But you know, our adoption would not bring character. Our adoption would just mean now he's part of the family, but it would speak nothing of does he have the character to be part and go forth with strength of the Father.
Right.
See, but the Jewish adoption follows God's economy, and that is that even though he's a son, he cannot come to authority until he's reached that place where he can handle that. And once he can handle it, then he's given this blessing. And at that point, the son doesn't say, now I'm ready, look at me. That's one thing that we're always guilty of, even our young people. And I was, as a teenager, I was raring to go. I thought I was ready. But I didn't have enough wisdom to handle what I wanted, see? I wanted the power, I wanted the authority, I wanted the vehicle, I wanted to go and do this and go do that. And so children automatically always think they're ready when they're not quiet. And it's the same thing with us. We would have thought by now we could speak things into existence, speak things out of existence. So we think we're there, but we're not quite there. So the Father's the one that says when this happens, right? So he's the one that says when it's time for us to come. But until that time, the Father says it's time, then it won't happen until he says it. So that's the process. And so leadership, basically what we're talking about is leadership keeps us under correction. Because we have to have correction to guide our lives to the place that it wants to be. I've talked about it with different people about your day, your children, and what you do with your day. If you're every day that everything just goes awry and you just seem like you're out of control or whatever, you need to engineer your day.
Right.
You need to rise up in the morning and you need to be proactive, not reactive. You need to be proactive to make your day come out to be what it needs to be. And to be proactive to guide that child in through leadership of the Word of God, to guide them to make it come out the way it's supposed to. So this concept of leadership and having that leadership over the child and bringing them to a place of adoption, we're talking about not just something that just happens. We're talking about something where there's labor involved, there's interaction involved, there's determination involved to get involved with this child, to teach this child, to make sure they're gaining these experiences to bring them to an outcome that will be pleasing.
Yeah.
See, that's the way it works. And so this leadership and brings us through correction and so forth, it brings us to that. Well, to be under correction, and as we just said, it brings us to a place where it molds his character in us. I'm going to want us to read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11. I think she's probably got it. And this is speaking of correction. It says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers in our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they," talking about our earthly fathers, "for they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he," our heavenly Father, "he for our profit, that we might be partakers of what?
His.
Of his holiness." Right? Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What about to the ones who are rebellious and reject that leadership and that correction? So we see here that to be under correction brings us to a place where it molds the Father's character in us, and it brings us to a place where you have peaceable fruits of righteousness.
Yeah.
Right? So every time you go through a trial, every time you go through correction where the Lord is working upon you, and I made the parallel the other day that you have to be right out there just like a slave working and working and working, and at some point, and this is a trial you're going through, and you want to overcome it, but you can't so yet, and at some point when you've learned what you need to learn, then the Father will raise you up with power over that, and you've won victory over that trial, just for the next day to go into another trial. So it's one day after another of this tutor or this leadership working with you, bringing you each time, putting more in your character, bringing you more to a place more like the Father. And when that correction has its place, though it is not joyful, I've never had a whipping that I enjoyed. But I can look back on it now and I think it was good that I had them, see? And I think any grown up would say the same thing. But it's not joyful when it's happening. But the scripture said, but if you are in this process where a father corrects you, because if he don't, then you're not, you know what it said you were. You were a bastard, not a son. But if he corrects you and you're in that process, then the end product of that correction brings a peaceable fruit of righteousness. So being in righteousness, being in right standing with God matters. How many wants to be in right standing with God?
Amen.
I've been on both sides of the fence, and I can tell you it's much better to be have a clear conscience and be in fellowship with God than to be under condemnation wanting to know where he's at.
Right?
I see a lot of head shaking because we've been there. See? But the point is that here we are, Brother Branham, right at the last, next to the last sermon, which was communion, and he preaches leadership. And of all the things that he could preach after all of his ministry, and he's fixing to go home and he feels led to do this. Why? Because he's given us all these truths that have come, and we need to listen to it as our leadership. Right? Well, that leadership will bring you to a place where you have right standing, and will bring you to the peaceful fruits of righteousness to those who exercise thereby. And so it will mold his character in you, and his character is holiness. His character is holiness. We can say, well, he does this and he does that, but you realize that God holds the patent or whatever on holiness. Right? He is holy. Not anything else, right? He is holy. And he wants you to have his divine nature, according to Peter, right? He wants you to have his nature. In other words, he wants his attributes to come down into you. And the only way you get those is through leadership and correction, and leadership and correction, and surrender to that leadership, and the molding and making, and lots of hours and lots of days and lots of time that doesn't seem to be too joyous.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of times it don't seem to be joyous. It's not a picnic.
Right.
But if his hand is heavy on you, I know kids are like, that's all my parents ever do is get on to me. Why? Why are they doing that? Because they're wanting to bring you to that place where you can stand and you can possess peaceful fruits of righteousness in your life, and you can be very well-rounded and be able to be a good, mature adult and go forth with the things that you need to go forth with. That's why they do that. And so, so we see there that it brings the peaceful fruits of righteousness. Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. And again, she'll pull it up on the board. This is actually Peter, says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Now let's stop just for a minute. In the natural, if you're dressed like the Hebrews were back then, you have these long flowing, whatever they call it, tunics or whatever they were. And if they're not, bound close to, they flow in the wind.
Right?
They flow. You know how the scriptures talk about carried about by every wind of doctrine or whatever, but your mind, he says, gird up the loins of your mind. So your mind has this characteristic that it can drift or it can be blown one way or the other way or something like that.
Right.
And so what I'm going to show you here is that Peter here is talking about not just laying around, just letting it be whatever it is. But he's talking about getting involved and causing your thoughts.
Yep.
Causing your thinking not to be flowing and not to follow this thought or that thought or this Facebook post or that something else. But to gird up the loins of your mind, right? To make your thinking be what it's supposed to be. And to be sober and to hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now here's what we're talking about. Here's what we're getting to. As obedient children, we got leadership. Got something here, the right thing that you need to have to make it successful. What are you going to do with it? Well, he wants you to be obedient children. And if you're obedient, then this next thing comes into place. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. Now look at this. Because of ignorance, they had a former lust according to their ignorance that they had. But now they've got the revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember I talked the other day about the prodigal son? And he had the wrong mindset, the wrong attitude toward the leadership. And according to the way this was supposed to go, he went ahead of time and said, "Father, give to me my inheritance. Give to me my goods." Well, he wasn't ready for it because within a few days he took off with it.
Yeah.
But the scripture said he got out there, and when he realized that he was about to eat the husk that the swine was eating, the scripture said he come to himself. He come to his right kind of thinking. And the scripture said, my son was lost. So he was lost when he had the wrong idea. He had the wrong attitude toward leadership. Right. See? And so here we are again as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves after the former lust. So an ignorance can cause you to have the wrong idea and have you off out here where you're in rebellion to leadership. You're not even listening to what the Word of God is telling you. And you can go that way for years. But if we ever come to our right thinking, if the Holy Spirit moves upon us, we come to our right thinking, we'll be like that prodigal son. We'd be happy to go back and be that servant in Father's house. See? He was happy to go and be right there beside that servant. Back to what we were talking about a while ago. To be that servant, to be under that burden until the Father lifts you up out of that trial. Well, the ultimate trial we're waiting for Him to lift us out of is this right here.
Amen.
Right. An ultimate lifting us ultimately out of this sinful body and putting us into a body that is not sinful, that doesn't war against us. So we don't want to be fashioned after the former lust. Listen, if a lifestyle in the past made you sick and made you sinful, won't it do it now if you go back to it?
Right?
Okay. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Yeah.
All manner of conversation, we're to have holiness in everything that we say. Everybody agree?
Yeah.
In everything we say, all manner of holiness. And nowadays we can talk a lot of ways. We can talk on the phone, we can talk to one another, we can talk on Facebook, we can talk in all kinds of ways, through texting or whatever. But in all manner, our communication, we're supposed to be holy. Right? In all communications. And so, because He said, because He who's called us, He that has called us to this, He's holy, and He's telling us to be holy, for it's written. Right? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, a while ago, I said God is the one who holds the patent or the corner on holiness. Because He's the source of it. And no one else has it. Okay? It's holiness pertains to God. And so when He says, be ye holy, really what He's saying is, be ye me. Right? Be ye me. Be like me, not just like me, but be ye me. Now the world hates holiness. They hate it. But we love it. They hate it. And here's why they hate it. Because they don't have it in their ranks. They cannot have something that's not in them. You understand what I'm saying? They cannot have something that's not in them. And so, we already showed you here that this process of leadership, God gets involved with your life, and if you won't budge, you're not coming to a place of holiness. You're not coming to a place of righteousness. But if you will let Him exercise your life and bring you forth with that leadership, He will bring you to a place of righteousness, and He will actually mold His character, because He brings you to the place where you've got just the same qualities He has. So you're just like Him, you have His character, and if He's holy, you'll be holy. Because His nature is now in you. And if you're holy, you're not going to live like the world. Right? We're not going to do that. Now, what happens is a lot of people out there try to get a hold of this, and they try to manufacture it without actually having the relationship with the one who produces it, the one who gives it to them. And that's what happens. So the world don't like it because they can't have it in their ranks. It's a reproach to them. That's why this thing is now. If they wanted equal rights and for marriage and so forth, for altering lifestyles, they could have that. They could get their right to do it without trying to encroach upon us. But that's not what it's about, see? It's evil spirits. It's the age of Sodom. And if we read in the Bible said those men of Sodom pressed themselves upon Lot and pressed themselves upon those to get to those angels. So we know we're right. We know right where we are. We are definitely in that day, because now they're pressing themselves and they're not willing just to be what they are quietly over here to themselves. They want to press it. Right? They want to press it upon. And so that's the way those spirits and those things work. They don't have holiness because they don't have that relationship with Him. But the children of God can have it because they can be corrected. Children of God can be corrected. But did you know that the fallen angels cannot be corrected? Because the Bible says they are reserved into chains of darkness. They can't repent. There's no blood for them. Right? There's no blood sacrifice for the angels that fell. But there is a blood sacrifice for you and me.
Amen.
And children can be corrected. Children of God can be corrected. Therefore, they can be brought from that low, ignorant estate and wrong mindset. They can be tutored and brought forth by the Holy Spirit to a place where now they're like God so much that they become equal with Him. They can come to adoption. And Brother Branham talked about it this way. He talked about the Pentecostal church. And he said, what? He said, the Holy Spirit's a tutor. And He'll come down and He'll work and deal with you. And He'll go back to the Father and report to the Father about your progress. Right? And he said, what if He has to go up there and say, Father, your daughter's down there. Well, they're still cutting their hair. They're still dressing, you know, those kind of things. What if the Holy Spirit has to come back? Well, the Father said, well, I can't bring them to adoption because they don't have the character yet, see? But he said, and he actually, and I forget how he said it this way, but you brothers that have read this may remember this, but the Pentecostal people, the Pentecostal movement, said they'll never come to adoption because of this process. They never come to the leadership of the Word and let the Word mold in them and correct the errors that are in them. They won't let it happen. Therefore, they never come to adoption. And he said, they're still children, but they'll never come to adoption. They're still in the church. They still may have what level they do have, but they'll never come to that place where He calls a ceremony and says, this is My beloved Son, hear ye Him. Now, He did the same thing with Jesus. You remember at the Jordan River, the voice speaks and said, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm pleased. That's all it said. But on Mount Transfiguration, where Jesus was put on a high place and a white robe put up on Him, where He was being adopted, then the voice said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased, hear ye Him. God told everybody at that point, listen to what He has to say because now He's in authority.
Right.
Yes. So He's got to do the same thing for you. And God will call this thing to halt one of these days. And he will bring us to that place that we're so longing for. So children of God can be corrected, but the demons cannot. And people who are under the influence of them cannot. Right?
That's right.
That's right. I forget how it states it, but rebellion is a sin as witchcraft and stubbornness is idolatry. But think about it. You're a sheep. Now, you know what, the witchcraft and idolatry, or the witchcraft, you know, they would give themselves over to a spirit, right, to lead and to speak through them or whatever. So here they are, they're supposed to be, have the Spirit of God upon them, but they've resisted that and they go and they allow another spirit to come upon them. And so, what, you're supposed to allow the leadership and you're not supposed to be rebellious to that. But if you rebel to that, you're going to be led by something. So it's the same thing as witchcraft. Because you're now resisting the leadership of God. And if you do resist that, then you do become led by something else. See, that's the way it works. Now, holiness is anything, this is just my words, but holiness is anything and everything that has the nature and character of God in it or has His presence upon it. So in other words, if God establishes in His church the right way to marry, to find your wives and to live with your wives and husbands in holy matrimony, and He has a way to do it, and you abide by that, you're walking in holiness in that area. See what I'm saying? But if you do it contrary to that, you're not walking in holiness. Now, how do you walk in that way? The only way you can walk in that way is to receive the correction of it because we're born in a world that's opposite. But to live in that, to walk in that, is to receive this correction and let it have its place within us And then we can live and walk, and we can marry the way he said, and we can love one another, and we can do all the things. So anything about a holy lifestyle, anything that, you know, when God says for the women to dress modest, if you do that, you're walking in holiness. Because it exhibits a quality or a characteristics about it of God. If a man will get up and go to work every day, even if he's a sinner, there's something about that that represents God, because that's something that's in God's economy. God's represented in that.
Yeah.
And so that's why the deep can call the deep out here in nature, because we can see God in it.
Right.
Because it still represents him. But you can't go down on the street corner and see God hardly. Because it don't represent it. See? So if he says, let me correct you, let me put my nature upon you, I'll correct you, and I'll have you put this to the side, put that to the side, get rid of this and get rid of that, and at some point, you'll exhibit my holiness.
Yep.
You'll exhibit my character, and this goes hand in hand of you coming to the place where you're going to be able to be about my business, because I'm going to empower you as an adopted son. And I'm saying this because this is the hour we live in. We're not living in some other church age where it's not time for this thing to come to pass.
Yeah.
We live now at the time for the church, the bride of Christ, or the sons of God, to have come to full position with God. And that's why it's so prevalent before us, because that's where we're at right now. And so anything that exhibits that, well, that has the character of God in it, then that's, to me, that's holiness. Because you can only do that if you have a walk with him and he imparts that and you receive that correction. You can't have it any other way. But if you'll let him exercise that in you, then you'll be like him. If people try to make like or put on like something, we live in an hour that's very well suited to flush that out. We live in an hour, and the times are tough now, to where all these make-believers and people who think they have this experience don't. We live in an hour that's going to flush that out and show that it's not thus. Because the only thing that's going to be left standing in rapture morning is those who have rapturing faith.
Right.
The rest of them are going to be pulled back to the side, because the hour will declare it. Remember we talked about how it was a day as an oven that will burn like a fire in the days of Elijah? Right? Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. So, it's a day as an oven. What? Where he tests and he burns and he tries and he purifies. And everything that's not Christ is going to burn up. Because it won't stand the day. See, it won't stand. Barack Obama and all his administration and all the UN and all that, they're not going to stand. Why? Because they rejected the leadership long ago. They're not in this sonship program with God. He's not working with them. He's not correcting them, but he is correcting you and I.
Right.
He's not doing that with them. That's why they're going full force, because there's no range trying to pull them back and take them down the right way. So they're going that way. But to you who are in that sonship training and tutoring process with God, he pulls the reins back on you, and he's guiding you, and you don't follow that nonsense. You're not going that way, because you know better. See? So from the worldly standards, to look at it that way, there's an element of holiness about you. Why? Because you're following the teachings of God from the Scriptures.
Right.
The rest of the world's not. So it's an unholy, ungodly world. But here we are in the midst of that crooked and perverse generation, a holy people that he's called us and said, you be holy for I am holy. And furthermore, he could be saying, I have empowered you to do that. Now, so I brought it all down to say this. If there was ever an age that needed correction, this was it. And God hand-delivered us what we needed in an end-time message. And right now, in an hour where nobody wants to be corrected, you can't even hardly say anything to anybody, and no matter how you say it, they're going to make excuses as to why it's okay for them to have done what they did. Nobody wants to say, you know what, I shouldn't have done that, I was wrong. When's the last time you heard that? See, it's an anointing upon an age, because God said, you must receive correction in this age. And Satan comes along and says, I'm going to anoint them not to receive it. Because that's the very thing they must have. Because, and I didn't have her put it in there, but how many knows, I think it's Hebrews 12. Holiness without which no man shall see God.
Right.
No man shall see God without holiness. And the only way you can have it is to come under correction of Him and have His nature placed upon you. And with that, you'll see God. And with that, you see God every day. We're not talking about just at the end of your days.
Right.
With that, you see God all the time. In everything, just about everywhere you go, except maybe down here on the street corner. You understand what I'm saying? Where God exhibits His character, and it's there, you find it. But you also have to look at the world and you have to say, it's not there. And so, He gives us this message. And this message has come to do the one thing. And that is to bring you and I to the ultimate correction. Because this is the ultimate correction that will change us and change us, and the last change will be a body change.
Right.
It'll change us and change us. So what? It'll make sure we go a different direction in the world, because the world, remember that worldly church was going over the curve of the earth down like that while the bride was marching up.
Right.
Why? Because there was something different influencing the bride.
Yeah.
And it can't be the things that are influencing the world. If we get into this place where we are being taught of God and being moved upon by God, He's going to work holiness, righteousness, and agreement with the Scriptures in our lives so that our experience amens the Word of God.
Right.
And not makes excuses for it, not try to say why it's okay that I'm in this condition, but it will move upon us and cause us to say, yes, Lord, You're right, I'm wrong, I repent, change me. And those things, day after day after day, it'll put you off down the road in righteousness when the rest of the world turned way off back here and went some other direction.
Yeah.
But my point is, there's a great difference between the two groups. Because you need to be holy. And if we are under the leadership of God, we will be a holy people.
Right.
And it's not because we're holy. Just like it was when Peter said, that we were with Him on the holy mount. Brother Ram said it wasn't a holy mountain, but it was a holy God on the mountain.
Right.
And it's not a holy God, but it's holy people. It's a holy God in the people.
Right?
Right? Yeah. So it's a holy God in the people. And if He's in them, you can see them walking in His ways regardless of what the world says.
Right.
So we must realize, we must quit being lulled to sleep and thinking, well, I'll just walk alongside the world. I just won't necessarily go down that road. We're called to be a separate people.
Yeah.
We're called to be different than them. And so, He gave us this message to do that, and it's a final message to bring us to adoption, to a body change, to a place where we are equal with God.
Yeah.
I know that sounds pretty tough, but she is Him. How many knows that quote?
Yeah.
She is Him. God's kind of oneness, I said a while ago, is not like, well, you know, God's kind of oneness means they are one. Because Jesus said, when you have seen Me, you have seen the Father.
That?
And when they asked Brother Branham, said, well, you know, you and your wife are one. And Brother Branham said, well, do you see her? And they said, no. So that's a different oneness.
Right.
Yeah, we're one. Husband and wife are one. But you can look on the husband and not see the wife. But Jesus said, this kind of oneness is that when you see Me, you have seen the Father. And I believe with all my heart, at the point where we get to where God wants us, the bride can say, when you have seen us, you have seen Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Because we're not just like Him, we are Him, because God's oneness has taken place in us.
Amen.
And we can be these things if we enter into this and let God work with us. We can be this because that's what we are, because He's made us that.
Right. Right.
But we have to let Him move upon us and work upon us and bring us to that. So we, now I said, leadership brings us to a commission. So if this end time message comes to a church that was all messed up, and we listen to the correction of this end time message, it'll mold the character in us to where we can sit with Him on His throne, like He said to the last church age, if you overcome, you can sit with Me in My throne.
Yeah.
So He will make it to where He molds that in you through this end time message. This is what's going on. He's molding the character of Christ in you. And at some point, you'll reach that place where you become one with Him. You will be adopted in full power to stand there and be with Him in authority. And so at that point, you're not going to be like Him. You will be Him. You'll be walking in true holiness at that point. To walk in true holiness means You have your opinion and your behaviors will be like God. You won't have your own ideas, but you will know what to do with the Word because you've been tutored by the Word. How can you come to the place where you're going to know how to sit on a throne and you're going to know what to do if you're never tutored by the Word? That's why God has made it so abundant for us. I listen to sermons every day. I don't know if there's ever a day I don't listen to sermons or listen to something.
Right.
Every day. 99 times out of 100, when I go to bed at night, I'm listening to a sermon.
Mom.
I listen to it because, and I might be listening to something I've heard 100 times, but you know what? The Holy Spirit knows how to make something jump off that tape or something jump off the pages of this Bible and catch my attention when He's ready for it to. Because remember that Father, He's responsible to divvy out to the child as he grows. He increases the amount of what He's giving, the amount of requirement, the amount of maturity level that He's calling for. All those things are controlled by the Father. So if we're getting closer to adoption now, then you know He's requiring more of your experience.
Right, amen.
He's requiring a greater walk from you and greater obedience to the things that you're going to have to use to rule someday. So if the Holy Spirit's really on your case, if He's constantly on you, seem like, it's because He's got an issue with you. You know, if my son is not obedient to me, he's not in right standing with me if he's not obeyed me about something and I'm aggravated at it. You understand what I'm saying? We want to be in right standing with God so that we can stand there with confidence and God's going, "This is my beloved son. Hear ye him." But if we're constantly walking around in condemnation, wondering what's going on, it's because the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be walking in condemnation except the Holy Spirit has been dealing with you about something, see? Right. But He'll deal with you and deal with you. And if you're a son, you should say, you know what? Thank God He's correcting me. Because right. If He didn't do that, you wouldn't be a son.
Right. Right.
See? So we ought to be thankful that we've got a message. A message that tells us tongues was not the evidence and God's not three gods and to tell us that the serpent had a seed and to bring to us these mysteries how this stuff works so that we can truly know our Christ, truly know His plan of redemption and know the hour we live in and what kind of people we're to be.
Amen.
We ought to be thankful for that.
Amen.
Because He's got a whole world out there that He's not dealing with those matters.
Right.
But He's dealing with us.
Amen.
And the Scriptures will be just like He said. There will be a foolish virgin. So all you have to do is just open up Facebook and look. And you'll see all kinds of people making a stand against Sodom and all that like that. And they're not even messing people. They have Trinity beliefs and everything else. God will have a foolish virgin and He'll save them. But He's got a bride. He's got sons that are coming to adoption.
Amen.
And it will be just like He said. We'll be like Him. We won't be like the world. We won't be motivated by the things of the world motivated with, right? We will be motivated by those things. And you know what else? We won't be tormented like them. We will not be tormented like them. It's like those 200 million demons that come out. And they went forth. And they were given the power to sting everybody that didn't have the seal of God. In other words, everybody don't have the Holy Ghost. Everybody that's not really in this sonship program. You see what I'm saying? Everybody that's not being led by the Spirit of God are going into torment. And the prophet said in his day they were going into insanity. He said, it's all over. He said, it's walking, coming in the house of God and right down the aisleway into the pew. Insanity. That's what he said. So it's just going that way. And we can look out and say, you know what? What that man was seeing back then, we see it in full force right now. There it is. It's marching out on the street and coming right in the church door and trying to come right down the aisle.
Yeah.
Just give it a little bit. And see if Sodom don't try to come in and make the issues. So Brother Branham knew what he was talking about. Insanity. Because the only right mind that really is right is the mind of Christ. And that's the only ones that have access to that are those who are in this sonship program where God is dealing with them and they have the leadership of God bringing them to the place that He wants them to be. So we won't be motivated by the things of the world. I don't have to follow the fads of the world. I don't have to dress like them.
Right, amen.
I don't have to feed on the things that they feed on. And I'm going to tell you something. If you feel like you need to go ahead and dress like them and act like them, then you've got something that's more important to you than eternal life. You've got something more important to you than to come under the correction of the Holy Spirit and let Him deal with you as sons and make you a person fit for righteousness. I know we like to have friends, but what kind of friend is going to compel you to walk away from eternal life? Going to walk away from the Bible and what's clear in the Bible. Even things that's clearly written there that we don't need some revelation to interpret. What kind of friend's going to pull you away from all that? We like to have friends, but I'm going to tell you something. The only true friend you have is God, the Holy Spirit in your life, and the level at which He's exhibited through the lives of your Christian brothers and sisters. That's your friendship. It's not the world. So we don't have to feed on the things that the world feeds on. They want you to look at everything and laugh at this and do all that. May I remind you that a vindicated prophet said that the spirit of America was laughter. Ha ha, tell me a joke. Should we be feeding on that? I know we like that, but I'm just saying, what I'm getting at is we're a different people. We don't live like them. We don't act like them. We don't feed on the things that they feed on. We don't have to. God's made it so we don't have to sit at the king's table. We can be fed by like the Hebrew children were. See, we can be fed, as the scripture said, we will grow up as calves in the stall. That's a hand-fed special diet. It's not the diet that all the cows in the field have. It's a special diet God has for us. But we don't have to eat the things of the world, laugh at the things of the world, have our mind occupied with the things of the world. We don't have to do that. We need to seek for an experience where the Spirit in us agrees with the Word of God and seeks after and promotes the Word of God. That everything about us, everything about our testimony speaks of Christ Jesus. So if someone could watch what we post, we read, or what we spend our time doing, they can see Christ in it always. Even when you're by yourself, if somebody happened to be able somehow to see, they'd see Christ there always. And if they listen to what we say and listen and see the places we go and the things that we do, and they see Christ in it. So if He's not in there, if we're doing something that He cannot be found in, we don't want to be there. You remember the man that said, Brother Branham, I think he said there at the garage, I forget how it all goes, but maybe the Holy Spirit put together for you, but he was at a garage there, a witness or whatever, and some man said, well, you can come over here, Brother or Billy, but leave your religion out. Brother Branham said, I won't go where he's not welcome. And the man went out, and just a little while later, he was run over and killed. You can't mock God. There's a process that's right, and we've got to find that process and let God lead us down that pathway. Because God's going to have the people that He said He would have. And He could move on without us if He has to. And I don't believe He'll do that because I believe you're the elect.
Amen.
But He's got a correction that will move upon us. And I don't care who we are, whether it's me standing up here, Brother Daniel, his ministry, or any of you, there's something in our life that God can challenge us on today to rise higher. Amen. Every one of us. There's something that He challenges us to rise higher and to surrender more to Him. And so He will mold His character into us if we let Him. If we surrender. Now we'll talk about surrender just for a moment, and we'll start trying to close. We have to surrender to that leadership. And surrender is a conscious act. Surrender's not just, well, you know, like we said a while ago, gird up the loins of your mind. Do something. Gird them up. Make it happen. Yeah. Well, surrender, it speaks of something you've got to do. You've got to make that choice to surrender. And that means you have to make the choice to let go of the things that He says let go of. Yeah. When He says surrender this, you've got to surrender it. You're thinking about Isaac whenever Abraham took him up there and was going to sacrifice him. Think about that. There was surrender involved for Abraham to do that. There was surrender. So sometimes the surrender don't feel very peaceable. Right? Sometimes what God calls us to do don't feel too good. But you're promised by His Word that it will bring peaceful fruits of righteousness. He's not going to do something and take you somewhere that's a bad situation. It's always for a better situation for you. Always.
Right.
In His economy. And you may say, well, but what if I'm not sure it's Him? Well, if you're in honesty of your heart trying to follow Him, even if you make a mistake, He'll take care of you. Right? And you'll learn from it. Because He's your great tutor, and He knows how to get this done. He knows how to train you and mold His character in you. And if it's not happening, it's because you're not surrendering. Right? And we can have surrendered all the way through first grade, second grade, third grade, all the way up to 11th grade and get to the 12th grade and then become rebellious. Are we going to graduate? No, we've got to go all the way. We've got to let Him have control of every situation in our lives and let Him do what He wants to do with it. So we want to surrender everything. There's a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Let's look at this. Just an example of surrender. It says, abstain. Let me look at this for a minute. Okay. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Did your flesh get saved when you gave your heart to the Lord? And there's fleshly lust. And those fleshly lusts, if you allow those to take place in your life, they war against your experience. They war against your soul. And fleshly lust doesn't have to be just something pertaining to what this world is going through with Sodom and Gomorrah. It could be a lot of things, and it's not just men that can have it, women. Everybody. There are fleshly lusts that we are to abstain from.
Right.
Here's a good example where the Holy Spirit will tell you, do not allow yourself to be involved in this. Do not let your mind flow in that direction or let your eyes flow in that direction or your thoughts go in that direction. And He says, don't do this. Guess what? He's not going to jerk you away from that. He's telling you as a gentleman, you've got to gird up the loins of your mind. You've got to make those thoughts come subject to the Word of God. You've got to cast down every imagination that's against Christ. Everything that exalts itself against Christ. You've got to cast those down. Reel that thing in away from those things of the world and keep yourself focused on godliness, on the things of God, on a message that's emboldening His character in you. Stay there. Look on this. And don't let your mind drift off into Sodom. Because I want to tell you what, if we live in an hour of Sodom, then there's Lottites. And the Bible said Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation. He wasn't a Sodomite, but he was vexed with that society. Why was he vexed by that society? Because he left the promised word, he left where the blessing was and went off down there. Kind of down, but I'll just hang around down here. I won't be part of it. Yeah. But the thing of it is you become where you're like him, vexed with all this nonsense. Mm-hmm. Well, don't go down there. Don't put your thoughts over there. Don't be involved in it in any way whatsoever. Stay up here where Abraham the elected was, who never went down there in the first place.
Right.
Because there is lies in this day. Amen? There's Lottites. We don't want to be part of that. This is a tricky hour because we live in an hour that is Satan's best. Satan is not a creator, but he's a perverter, and he's good at perverting. And so we live it. Can you picture this? Where Brother Branham, nobody else would have done this, but Brother Branham comes along and said, you know what? It's Satan's Eden. When I think about it for a minute, God went back here and he worked. One day, 2 days, 3 days, he makes Eden, he makes all this. And God brought Eden, the Eden condition, into a place to where it was like what he wanted. Eden was a place like God wanted for his children to dwell in. So when a prophet comes along and says we're living in Satan's Eden, then he's telling us that Satan has worked for all these years, perverting, and now we've arrived in a society and a world that's just like Satan wants it. See? So it's a tricky hour. We live right here in Eden, Satan's Eden. We live in this condition, but you know what I believe? I believe the bride of Jesus Christ is going to defeat Satan right here in the midst of his Eden. You look back in the Bible, and it was, I think, with the men, the most humiliating thing in the world was to be killed by a woman. Right? Have a woman throw a stone off of a wall and hit you on the head and kill you or something like that. Satan is going to be humiliated. Because a woman, the bride of Jesus Christ, is going to destroy him in his own kingdom, in his own, where everything's just like he likes it. He thinks he's got it all under control. Do you realize that he cannot be fully come to power as long as you and I are here? Did you know the Bible tells us that? Until we go on a rapture, he can't really do anything. Not to his full extent. He understand. He's not going to come to the fullness of his desires. But his Eden is here. He's brought this to his Eden. A prophet has identified it as this. And so we know that everything's just like he wants. Ever so tricky and ever so powerful. But I believe we're going to destroy him and his work, you know, in our lives at least, because of an end time message by surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can take this message, and we must. We must take the message of God, the correction of God, the leadership of God that he's given us, and take that and destroy the work of Satan in our lives to be what he and the world says we can't be. But we can be what God said we can be. The world says we can't, but we can. And so we thank the Lord for allowing us to see that. So, how many want to surrender to leadership? It's a requirement. Because I didn't come in this world knowing how to, and neither did you. But we have contact and we have access to one who does know. And he's promised that he'll get us there. But we got to make a conscious choice to follow him all the way. And not hold back in any way. We've got to surrender all to him in every way, every form, every fashion. And it'll cost you in this world. It'll cost you in this world. You know, there is a quote where Brother Ben says, the bride, she will be bereaved of this world, of this world's goods. It's not going to get easier for us. It's going to get harder. Even the spiritual battles. If there are people out there who are living for the Lord and they've had previous, in the past, they've had fights and warfares with Sodom, they are in for a battle because they're familiar with those spirits, and they will fight and they will have to push and press harder because that's getting stronger. But God will deliver his people. Amen. And so it's a total surrender that we have to give now. And I think it will be, as the scripture said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. No doubt about it. But if he has true leadership in your life, he's going to make you different than that world.
Absolutely.
And there will be a holiness exhibited around you. And yeah, it'll be hated. It'll be hated, it'll be rejected, despised. But you'll walk in a peace with God that passes all understanding. And that's really all that matters. To walk with God and to please God. Like Enoch walked with God and pleased him. And before he left, he had a testimony that he pleased God. I think God wants to have a testimony among us before he raptures us, that we walk with him and that we please him. Amen? That's what we want. So, hey, let's bow our hearts and let the team and the musicians come. Amen. I know we all have struggles. We all have, and as I said a little while ago, there's always places where the Holy Spirit can challenge us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and the time we've had together around your word. I pray, Lord, that something has been said that would touch every heart here. Lord, that each one will be challenged, Lord, to look into the Word of God, look down in their heart, hear what your Spirit is saying to them. And Lord God, may you give them the gift of surrender. Lord, to surrender to you in ways maybe they've never done it before, Lord. that you could have fruit in their lives like they've never seen, maybe, Lord. We realize, God, that you are here. You're among your people. As your prophet said, you are going to live among your people. We believe we're on the verge of that now, Lord. We realize that there will be a time probably where we might even see Ananias and Sapphira again, and those kinds of things, Lord, as you live and walk and move among your people. And Lord, we know that's a bittersweet hour that we're living in, to know and see the world going in the way it is, but also to see that our redemption draws nigh. I pray, God, that you'll help us be diligent and be just what we need to be in this hour, Lord, that we totally surrender, that you could act out on the job, in our homes, everywhere we go, we can act out what you would have us to be. I pray, God, that you help us in these things. Bless each one, Lord, as they go today. May you protect them and keep them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Said, if you stand for me, I'll stand for you. You didn't stand there and tell that truth about this Sodom issue that's on your hands. See what I'm saying? So this is not the time, you know, be kind, be as loving, pray God to make you as sweet as possible. But we got to stand. This is the hour. It has to come. The Bible said it had to be that way in order for us to get out of here. And this week, let's thank the Lord for helping us.
My knees.